But people threatened to call the police. And yet, what are we trying to do? What you're trying to do is you're trying to help people. You're trying to help people to see that there's a real God in heaven. There's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And the Bible says, except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. For whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. What God wants is for every person to place their faith and trust in Him, to receive forgiveness of sins, and to receive eternity in heaven. And yet, as we go out and we try to tell people that, maybe when you first got saved, you were fired up. And you said, wow, I'm on my way to heaven. And you went and told somebody, and they said, I don't even want to hear it. In our text, in John 15, remember we've been doing a series on the book of John, He Must Increase. Jesus is preparing Himself and His disciples to go to the cross. He's communicated with them in chapter 13 and in chapter 14. Chapter 14, He talked about heaven and the glory of heaven. And in chapter number 15, He begins the great passage on, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And He's preparing His disciples for the day that He would die on the cross and bear in His body the sins of the whole world. And He would be put in a grave and He would rise again in 3 days and He would be here for a little time. And then Acts chapter number 1, He would ascend up into heaven and He's preparing His disciples for that time. Imagine having been with Jesus for 3.5 years or so. Imagine having been with Jesus and seeing all that He had done and what He had said and having the security of Him right there and Him saying, hey, I'm going away. And wait a minute, we don't like this. He's preparing them. And He tells them in our text what is something that we face today as well. We've faced every generation since the time that He told them until the time we'll go to heaven and be with Jesus. Look at our text. The Bible says in John 15 and verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they had kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all those things which they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, he said, the world hated me, and the world's going to hate you. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 10, Jesus said this, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It is sad that in a world of people that you're trying to help see that Jesus saves, that Jesus forgives, that Jesus can give you a home in heaven, that Jesus can be your best friend here on earth. It is sad that people reject that. It's sad that people will go beyond just rejecting it. They'll move into the realm of hatred. I want to look at our passage this morning, and I want to give you 3 reasons from our text that Jesus gives us why the world will hate you. All right? And we'll look at it in just a minute, but let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the music and for the encouragement we've had so far. Now, Lord, I ask that you would speak to hearts here. I ask, dear Lord, that you would have your will and way in this service. Would you be pleased and glorified in all that's said and done? In Jesus' name, amen. 3 reasons why. Number one, 3 reasons why the world will hate you. Number one, the world is indulgent. The world is indulgent. They are doing their thing, living it up, and don't want anything, anyone, to tell them differently. Look at verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, if you were of this world, the idea of this world system, the world would love his own. Because you're not of this world, I've chosen you out of this world. Therefore, the world hateth you. The world is indulgent. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 that Satan is the small g god of this world. He is the god of this world's system. In John 8 and verse number 44, Jesus said this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. When we recognize that somebody that does not have Christ as their personal Savior is of their father the devil, that's how they're going to act. The lusts of their father they will do. You ever notice the world accepts its own? The world accepts its own. Why? Because there's no conviction. There's no conviction coming their way from somebody that's doing the same thing that they're doing. Now take your Bibles and turn to another familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to work you a little bit this morning. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and look at some of these passages of Scripture, because I think it helps us when we think concerning this matter of being hated or being persecuted, if you would, for being a Christian. I personally think that the persecution is coming in a greater way in 2021 than it has been in past years. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter number 5. Jesus said this, Sermon on the Mount, ye, verse 13, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The idea is what? The idea is that we are to let our light shine. You know, when our light shines, that exposes darkness. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 15, the Bible says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The Bible says this, every believer, if you're here this morning and you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are supposed to be a light in a dark world. You are supposed to be the salt of the earth. You're supposed to let your light shine. The Apostle Paul admonished the church at Corinth. He said this, church at Corinth, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. To the church at Rome, Paul wrote the words of the church at Rome. He said this, be not conformed to this world. It's really constructed this way. Writing to the church at Rome, the Apostle Paul writing to Christians and says this, stop being conformed to this world. Stop allowing the world to press you into its mold. But you know what our problem is? Our problem is we want to be liked. We want to be accepted. And so sometimes we choose to identify with the world more so than we do to identify with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are Christians. We bear the name of Christ. And when I let my light shine in a dark world, it exposes the reality of sin in people's lives. As we look at the Scripture, think concerning the early church. Can you take a walk with me through the book of Acts? Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Again, Jesus prepared the disciples in the Gospels. He prepared them for the time that He would ascend, the time that He wouldn't be with them anymore. He prepared them. He told them that, hey, people aren't going to like you. In Acts chapter number 3, they heal a lame man. The Bible says in verse 2, a certain lame man from his mother's womb. And Peter says in verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And he took him, verse 7 of Acts 3, by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. But you know what happened? People weren't too happy about it. they weren't too happy about. As a matter of fact, if you go to chapter number 4, they were grieved, verse 1, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection. Verse number 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 20 of Acts 4. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. What do we find? We find when the early church lets their light so shine, we find the authorities get upset. Look at Acts 5, one more chapter over, in verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. What do we see? Again, we see a hatred. Verse 28, didn't we straitly command you shouldn't teach in this name? And Peter says we ought to obey God rather than man. You see this persecution in Acts chapter number 6. You see persecution at the end of Acts chapter number 7 where Stephen is martyred. You see it in chapter 8 in verse 4. Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, but they didn't stop preaching. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter number 12, James is beheaded. What are we saying? What we're saying is this. Jesus told the disciples, hey, you identify with me. Hey, you're a Christian. Hey, you need to let your light so shine. And I'm going to tell you, when you let your light so shine, the world is going to hate you because they're indulgent. They're doing their own thing and they don't want that conviction. They hadn't known sin, Jesus said in our text, until they met him. Go back to our text, John chapter number 15. And I want you to see secondly, not only is the world indulgent, but I want you to see, secondly, they're going to hate you because the world is influenced. The world is influenced. Look at verse number 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep your sayings. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. A quick study of the book of John, and maybe we'll do it real quick here. We've got to get you working here. Turn to John chapter number 5. A quick study in the Gospel of John will tell us what? That they hated Jesus. Why did the world hate Jesus? Because the world is influenced by its God, the God of this world, Satan, who blinds the minds of them which believe not. In John 1, the Bible says, I know you're in John 5, I'll meet you there in a minute. In John 1, the Bible says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. In John 5, and verse number 16, the Bible says this, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Flip over to John chapter number 7. And verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Look at verse 19. Why do you go about to kill me? Is the last phrase there. And there are many scriptures that we could look at as we consider this matter. In John chapter 8 and verse number 37, the scripture says this, I know that ye are our Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Verse 59, I mean, it goes through, there's so many passages. They took up stones in verse 59 of John 8 to cast to him, to cast at him. In John chapter 11, they sought to kill Jesus. Do you know what? Satan hates God. And Satan hates the people of God. You know, there's nothing Satan can do to get back at God. And so he goes to the next precious thing to God, which is what? People. Human beings. That God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see, when you trust Christ as Savior, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are partakers of His heavenly calling. And we recognize that what the Word of God teaches is that Jesus' words, His actions, exposed their wickedness. And when we walk as we ought to walk, it exposes the wickedness of people in the world in which we live. Satan will do everything he can to hinder you. Do you know God has a specific, perfect will for your life? But do you know, opposite the perfect will of God for your life, Satan has a will of God, or will of Satan for your life? He's a deceiver. He does what he can to convince people that they don't need to trust Christ as Savior. He blinds the minds of them which believe not. And people think, hey, I'll be okay. People think, hey, I'll be all right. I don't have to trust Christ as Savior. And they're believing a lie. He convinces Christian people that you can be saved, have your fire insurance, and live how you want to live. They're believing a lie. We're called out from among them and be separate. He convinces Christian people that you can just be a witness by your life. Now, I think our lives should be a witness. But the Scripture is full of admonition for us to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. For us to open our mouths and communicate Christ to a lost and dying world. I'm 54 years of age, and I think maybe once, I know some of you are thinking, wow, you don't look that old. Thanks. I appreciate that. I don't want to hear it if you think, I thought you were 64. Do you know, I have maybe one time had someone come up to me and ask if I was a Christian. It might have been because my wife was with me. And they saw how she was dressed. And they said, are you guys Christians? I'm for being a godly example. I'm for walking in truth. But the Bible says we need to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul alluded to the hindering work of Satan. Hey, we wanted to come unto you, but Satan hindered us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we know the Bible says Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Bible refers to him as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. And do you know what? We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that you have what this world needs? You say, man, things are getting tough in 2021. I think they're going to get tougher. I'm not a doom and a gloom person. I think they're going to get tougher for us, but thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You look through the Word of God and you see, I read you some of the persecution of the early church. They made it. As a matter of fact, when they were persecuted, and this might be what we need as a church, we might need more persecution for the Word of God to be scattered abroad, for us to get serious about declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've had it really good. But the God of this world, Satan, is doing whatever he can to render Christians ineffective. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 24, who know rejoice in suffering for you rejoicing in suffering for you and that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. We're in a battle. The devil's defeated, by the way. He's a defeated foe. God has manifested defeat all throughout the pages of Scripture, but he's an illusionist. He's a deceiver. And he's doing what he can to cause us to not identify with Christ, to cause us to say, well, I don't want anyone to hate me. Number one, they were indulgent. Number two, the world is influenced. Number three, the world is ignorant. Go back to our text. And this is our last point I want you to see. John 15, Jesus said this in John 15 in verse number 21. He said, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't understand that Jesus came from heaven. The Father sent him. They don't understand who Jesus is. We live in a world that mocks Jesus. We live in a world that makes fun of people that, by the way, let's just turn to Romans 1. Romans 1 gives us a great account of of where we are in the world and the world's system. People are ignorant of the truth. The Bible tells us in Romans 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Nobody on this planet is without excuse. And then verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." And then it goes on to talk about how basically they that which God created, they distorted. Mankind with mankind, womankind with womankind. I mean, this is what the Scripture says. Hey, they glorified Him not as God, professing themselves to be wise. They become fools. We got a lot of people in this world are professing they're wise. Oh yeah, we got all the global warming. How about global warming? We had so much snow this year, I think that somebody's off on that. You know, the reality is there are many that are just ignorant. They don't know God. They don't glorify Himself as God. Jesus referred this in the Gospel. We'll not take the time to look at it. But Jesus referred to it in John, in the Gospel of John, many times. He said, "I've come down from the Father." Think about this. Imagine what it must be like to be in heaven. You say, "Boy, that would be a nice place. There's no sin in heaven. A perfect place. Perfect fellowship with God the Father." The Bible says there's no more weeping. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. Imagine. I asked a preacher once when I was a kid. I said, "Hey, what do you think people are doing in heaven? You think they can look down and see on earth?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "But I'm not sure they'd even be interested in what's happening here on earth when they're experiencing all the joys and the splendor of heaven." Imagine what it took for Jesus to leave heaven. He was there at creation. He spoke the world into existence. And He comes unto His own, and His own receive Him not. And He leaves a perfect heaven and perfect fellowship with the Father. He who knew no sin at all became sin for us. He died on Calvary's cross. Imagine the physical pain that Jesus bore when they put the crown of thorns in His head and the blood gushed from His head. And they whipped His back and the blood gushed from His back. And the Scripture says you couldn't even tell who He was because of the physical pain that He went through on the cross. Add to that the spiritual agony. Add to that, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When He bore in His body the sins of the whole world. And He comes here to planet Earth. He performs miracles. He preaches truth. "I am come," He says, "that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I am come to forgive your sins." You know what? When we trust Christ as Savior, God not only forgives us of our sins, but He gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He robes us in His righteousness. And God sees us through Jesus just as if we've never sinned. I don't get it, but I'm happy for it. The righteousness of Christ. And not only that, Jesus ascended to heaven. And He sits down at the right hand of the Father. And He ever lives to intercede for you. Jesus sits at the throne and intercedes for you. When I was in Bible college, a lecturer, one of our doctrines teacher, was communicating concerning this. And he painted a picture that I can't paint as good as him. He said, "You know, the old devil will go up to God. Say, 'God, you see that person down there? My sister's here, I'll pick on her.' You see that Cindy down there? See what she just did there, God? That's pretty bad, wasn't it? We won't say pretty bad. We'll just say it was bad. Jesus will sit up from the throne. And he comes over to God and he says, "Yes, but you see my nail prints? She's mine. She's forgiven." The reality of what we have in Christ, the world doesn't see it. They're ignorant. There's joy in serving Jesus. Someday He lives now, He ever lives to intercede for us. But someday, folks, He's coming again. Someday He'll split the skies and we'll meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What an encouragement, what a joy. But Jesus says in our text, they don't know the Father. They don't know the love of the Father that sent me here to planet Earth to meet needs. They're ignorant. My mind goes to Exodus chapter 5 in closing. You don't need to turn there. Moses and Aaron, they go before the Lord and they say, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh says this, which is what many people in the world say today. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And you see in all of those plagues the stubbornness of the heart of man, the ignorance of the heart of man. God is a loving God. God is a saving God. God is a God that meets needs if we'll let Him. You know what, as we look at this passage here, Jesus was making an assumption. Jesus was telling them the facts. Jesus was saying, hey, you're a Christian. The world's going to hate you. But you know what? I find that sometimes in the world in which we live, some Christians aren't really hated all that much. The reason for that is because they live in the closet. Afraid to tell people, I'm a Christian. I went to a Christian high school growing up, and there were Christian kids in the Christian high school that I went to that were afraid to pray for their lunch in a Christian high school. They just kind of drop something on the floor and pick it up. So how do you know? Because I asked them. Oh, I just kind of pray, Lord, bless this. You know, it's sad. What this world needs is for God's people and not be ashamed. What this world needs is for God's people, when we face some persecution, for us to remember the words of Jesus. Jesus told us it was going to happen. Jesus told us they were going to hate us. They hated Him. They hated the disciples. They hated the early church. They have hated the church of all time. You want to get some stories of people that have been hated. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. The church has been hated. But you know what? The Word of God continues to go on. The Word of God continues to spread. If God's people will be bold, if God's people will recognize, I'm a Christian, I identify with Jesus. Lord, we love You here today. Lord,